Well, hello, everybody. It's good to have you tonight on Issues of the Heart. We do have a guest. He'll be joining us in a little while. His name is Pastor Gordon Scoggins. He's out of Lamar, Missouri. He's at Liberty Baptist Church, doing a tremendous job there. And covering a subject that a lot of people, they deal with it, but they don't know how to deal with it. And that's the subject of anger. If you're listening to me right now, I'm telling you that you are probably dealing with anger once a week, once a month, some maybe every day in somebody you deal with, a child, a spouse, or yourself. So, what we want to do is we're going to cover the subject tonight of the resolution of anger. We talked about the problem of anger. Why is it a problem? How does it develop? And we had some good questions asked just this last week. I didn't see them in time. But the questions that we had asked this last week was, rage, that's a good one. You see it all the time. You see it. I mean, you go to the grocery store, and I told my wife, man, I don't want to go to a grocery store by myself. Those ladies in the grocery store run you over. And so so I'm trying to, I want to make sure that I have my wife's support, moral support, when I go in to the grocery store. And you see it on the job. People get angry on the job really fast. You see it. But the question that was asked, Pastor Scoggins, welcome. He's on. And you may have a good answer for this, but one of the questions that was asked last week was, what's causing this wrath, anger, this to the wrathful point? In society, like even on the interstate, I mean, now people just don't get mad on the interstate. I mean, people are getting shot, people are getting run off the road, all kind of gestures are being thrown out there. Why is it progressively getting worse like that? Are we just a spoiled people? And we're so used to getting our way. Is that what it is? Or is it all about me? Is that the problem? Can you hear me, Brother Gordon? Okay. He's having some technical difficulties, but we'll keep going here. So, on this podcast, we're trying to cover issues of the heart. And what I know with issues of the heart is that almost everything that surfaces on the outside started in the heart. Can you say that's true about anger? I think you can. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that, you know, that even what we say comes from the heart. The heart spews it up. And so you see all those people, you know, on the interstates, in the stores, on the job, at school. I mean, they bullied in school when I was going to school. But now it's to the point of pushing people to suicide. You read about it all the time. Of course, I know social media hasn't helped that. So how in the world does anger exhibit itself so much now? Is it that it wasn't as big an issue before? Or is it that we just now have lost our ability to control it? Okay, we got folks checking in and watching. My father-in-law is watching. So I have to be careful what I say. We got several people watching. I know we got some folks in our class. A dear friend of mine and his wife are watching, Jimmy and Claudia. He does a phenomenal job in our class. But we've got several others. So I'm killing time here. We're trying to get Brother Gordon back online. So what is your idea, your opinion? If you want to shoot it to me in a text, do that right now. Not in a text, but on Facebook. Shoot it on there and let's see if you have an answer. Anyone. I want to remind you, next week, we're going to have a guest. His name is Dr. S.M. Davis. He travels this country. He constantly, every week, he's in a different place. And he covers family life issues. And one of the things he covers is the subject of anger. And he has a study that he has done on the spirit of anger. And, you know, you hear that kind of stuff all the time. And so when I saw that title, I said, okay, here we go. But boy, I'm telling you what, when I listened to what he had to say, it was shocking. And it made total sense. I'm telling you, folks, you're going to see something or hear something that you've never heard or seen before when he covers that subject. So be sure that you tune in next Monday night, 7 o'clock. Dr. S.M. Davis, you don't want to miss that. All right, let's see if we have Gordon now. Can you hear me now, Brother Gordon?
Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you. I don't know if anybody, if you're watching and you can text, could you let us know? Got another person that enjoys the podcast just popped up. Some of you folks that are listening, can you tell me if you can hear myself and Brother Scoggin?
I got the volume turned up as loud as I can.
And maybe they can, maybe I just can't.
I switched devices and it's the same. The volume's wide open. And according to the test on your software, it's blowing and going.
Well, somebody just said that it's okay. They can hear you. So let's go ahead and get started here then. So, Pastor Scoggin, like I said, we had some people who asked some questions last week. We didn't get to them. One of the questions was dealing with this road rage, you know, out on the highways. You used to be a truck driver. You ought to know that better than anybody. And it just seems like it's worse than it used to be. It used to be people would get angry, but now they'll follow you and they'll shoot you. They'll track you. They'll run you off the road. All kind of things. Can you tell us, before we get into the subject tonight, can you tell us some reasons why that may be happening?
It's just the whole snowball has just gotten so big that it's just rolled into different aspects of, I think, people's lives. Where if you don't deal with it, it starts and it just festers and it gets into one area of your life. And the next thing you know, it's into something else. And if you're out there on the road and your heart's not right and you're full of bitterness and wrath and a bad spirit, it don't take much to tick you off, and because you're already pretty much like a stick of dynamite about ready to blow up. And there's plenty of people out there that have the same issues, and they don't care about you and you don't care about them, and makes for a great combination to have a mess. Kind of, sort of. But as far as, you know, it just relates to the fact that they're driving trucks, it just relates to the human nature of the people we're dealing with that aren't dealing with their spiritual problems.
Well, of course, we know that probably a lot of people out there on the interstate, a lot of them may not know God if he slammed right into the side of their car. But I just, you know, some of those things is a little difficult for me to answer because my personality is not that way. I'm one of those guys who lets everybody in, you know, gives everybody plenty of room. I slow down for everybody. I don't slow down all the time, but I slow down for, I'm one of those people. But boy, there are, I know I can't turn on the news without seeing where somebody on the highway shot somebody or ran somebody off the road or followed somebody home, all because they can't control the anger. And
it does, you know, you can, it's inner city shootings. It's beating your wife or your wife throwing things at your husband. It's just not dealing with your issues. And all it takes is a little trigger element to start a nuclear reaction, and then it's on. And nobody wants to be this one to be the good guy, be the bigger person to stop it and just say, we're not going to go here anymore. And so it just keeps going until somebody doesn't react.
Well, so let's get into today's podcast. So you are going to cover the subject. I'm excited about this. I'm anxious for it. The resolution of anger. We've been telling people for 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, what a problem anger is and how it manifests itself. How do we resolve it?
Well, I've been agonizing over this for the last week because it is so important that I really wanted to try to make sure we had some thoughts that will help people look at themselves, look at their issues, and give them some hope that it can be resolved. And I think we've got some thoughts that'll make a difference tonight if people will pay attention.
Well, I know we had, there was, I don't know, 400 people that watched that was last week, and a lot of them had questions. So hopefully they're watching tonight for the resolution of it.
Well, we can get right into it here. If I can hold up, maybe my wife about killed me over the weekend. I had to build that deck, and I'm dying. I mean, I can't stand up. My back's killing me. My knees are hurting. I feel like I'm getting old.
Well, I'm worse than you are because that's the way I feel just because I get up out of the bed in the morning.
So. After a few days, I'll be all right. But boy, I tell you what, a couple of days of that, crawling around on my knees and everything else, I'm dying. And then I crawled up on top of a school bus engine today and washed windows, and that wasn't real smart either. But anyway, I'm firmly planted in the chair, so let's go here. Probably we might as well start off again just with a minor, just a little bit of quick review. Again, I am not an expert. Brother SMD is the expert. If anybody can help me with that, crawl around next week. And he'll really solve all your problems. But I think we can throw a few things on the table that'll help. So let's be reminded, what is a spirit of anger? It's a hostile, destructive energy from a buildup of inner stressful tension projected outwardly. And this tension, the tension is a spirit that results from past hurts that have never been resolved. So the fact that you have road rage or people are wanting to shoot people, that's just the outgrowth, the manifestation of an inner problem that's never been resolved. And it's complicated by the guilt that accompanies wrong reactions because of the unresolved pain. Kind of like, why do people drink? Why do people take drugs? We're covering up pain, right? And anger is just another way to deal with pain, to vent it out instead of dealing with it, getting to the root of the problem, which is sometimes rather painful, but it needs to be done if you want to be free from the problem. So why is it such a problem? It's going to destroy your life if you don't deal with it. It'll destroy your life spiritually. It'll mess with your head. It'll mess with your body. It's going to destroy your marriages. You're going to destroy your kids. You could cause generations of people to miss heaven because of what you do to the psyche of your children or your divorces. And the anger fits you throw when you improperly discipline them. The list goes on and on, and we don't want to spend a lot of time here. This thought came to my mind today as well. See what you think, Brother Jay. I say anger is a very selfish emotion.
I agree with that.
It's just basically just saying it's all about me. I don't care about you. I have feelings and I'm going to protect them. And you mess with me, I'm just going to unload on you. But what it really says is that your core values need to be adjusted.
Somebody
filters your convictions in your heart,
right,
are not what they should be. Because once, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, I believe the Bible says, so is he.
Amen. Absolutely. Yep.
So basically, you're just manifesting what you've locked into your heart as guiding forces for your life. If your core values are wrong, there's a good chance if you've got serious anger problems, you're not even saved. You're not even a child of God.
Right.
Very good possibility. And of course, kind of goes what I just said. You see your feelings as the only thing that matters. If your core values are wrong, you'll be a taker and not a giver.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see what you can get, but you're not interested in giving. And I think some people can get hurt to the point that they don't see themselves of having any value. But we need to be reminded, people need to be reminded, you have value to God. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to help you. He wants to deliver you. Because the devil's got you by the throat, and he wants to choke you. That's real pretty talk, but it's pretty much on point, I do think.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got Bible-centered core values, you're not going to behave this way. You're going to be putting others ahead of yourself. Your core values are like a compass. They're the convictions you've already settled in your heart or in your life, and that's determining the direction of the course of where your life is going to go. And everything you do is going to go through those filters, and it's going to come out the same way until you change the filters. And when they're wrong, those are strongholds.
Yep.
Those are serious spiritual issues. It's not just something to be taken lightly. And your neighborhood psychologist is going to charge you $200 an hour, and he's not going to tell you that.
Yep.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
But when your core values are off, you're on a road to destruction. You're going to go over a cliff. If you don't do something to turn the car around, you're done. You're toast, and you're going to drag people with you. And it's so tragic, so mm-hmm. tragic.
Somebody just said, we resemble that remark, and I think all of us do, right? And by the way, your volume's really good now, Gordon. So, But anyway,
let me give you a couple illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm not an expert, but I got battlefield experience. Anger can lead to you attracting unclean spirits into your mind that will take over and control you if you allow them in. And if you let your anger fester long enough, it will allow you in. And I've heard people say that anger is not a demonic issue like this or a matter of unclean spirits, but you're crazy. You're sitting in your little uptown church with your little squeaky clean preacher who never gets out there in the streets and gets his hands dirty around a bunch of sinners who are dying and needing somebody to help them. You don't realize how many people there are out there with unclean spirits. How many people out there are dying and we're just sitting around and not doing a whole lot about it. I feel guilty about not doing enough myself, Brother Jay.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you a story from my battlefield experience. There was a fellow, I'm not going to name his name. In fact, I can't even remember it. I've been trying to think of it for hours. Might be another sign I'm getting old. I don't know. But anyway, the story doesn't change. The guy came to church, an older fellow. He came to church a few times. He couldn't hear well, so I parked him by the speaker. And I went out to visit him one day, and we sat and talked for quite a while. And he admitted he was full of anger. And we talked and tried to get to the root of it. All kind of abuse from his daddy, and all his life was just a train wreck of being hurt by people he should be able to trust. And he had a buddy. His buddy he was a couple years older than me, I guess. He'd been in Vietnam, and he'd been in about everything you could think of. And he got saved. He thought he was saved, but he realized he wasn't. Got saved and got baptized and got his life in order. And he wanted his friend to get saved, a guy with full of anger. So we were having a powwow by the old veterans, little 80s model GM camper in someone's backyard. And I could feel the spirit starting to move. Something was going to happen. And we're talking, and I was getting ready to witness to him because he wasn't saved. And by the time we got to the place where it was kind of talk about having Jesus, to asking Jesus if you want him to save you and forgive you, he jumped up and got in my face and started screaming, "I'm angry, I'm angry. I can't get saved, I can't be saved, I'm angry." That was an unclean spirit that took over the conversation. Got up, yelled in my face. His countenance changed. His eyes were lit up like fire. I was totally stunned. I was not ready for that. And I probably didn't deal with it like I should have had. But guess, unfortunately, the man's now dead and he's in hell. Because of an unclean spirit. But they do, they take control. As long as you don't roust them out of their comfort zones, you don't even know you got them. But you get to a place where he must have been ready to get saved. Otherwise, that unclean spirit wouldn't have jumped up and took over. But that was how bad his anger had been for 40, maybe 50 years. How it can fester and destroy your life.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty darn serious to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So,
go ahead.
So we know. I mean, we know us. You'd have to be blind not to see it. So, what do we do about it?
Well, I'm getting there.
Okay.
But I'm not ready to get there yet. I'm going to tell you another story. For those who think that's a little off the edge, I'll give you something a little closer to home. You might be a believer and you're angry can still destroy your life. I know a guy who's now gone on for his reward who had anger issues. He was said he was saved, had a good testimony, never missed church, but he had an anger problem like a hair trigger on a gun. And it didn't take much to set it off. And when it did, it was ugly. And he lost his life early because his heart was totally gone. He ruined his health. Not only that, he lost his wife. He lost his kids. Nobody, he burned all the bridges of people in his life who loved him because of his anger problem. People in the church, we kind of tolerated him and tried to do the best we could with him. But it was just sad to see where this guy's life went just because of an anger problem he wouldn't address.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I want people to understand that this, if you don't deal with it, it's a serious matter. All right, now, resolution, here we go. These are my thoughts for what they're worth. I think resolving it is as simple as deciding what kind of person you want to be. Is that a fair statement?
Mm-hmm. Sure it is.
You know, you can decide, do you want to be a person who builds up or you don't want to be a person who tears down? Shouldn't be hard to figure out which side of this thing you're on. You want to be one who heals or you want to be one who hurts? You think people would get tired of that after a while. But I guess the anger gets such a hold on them that they just can't see the forest for the trees. I don't know how else to put it. But we got to come to grips.
I lost you there, Gordon. I can't hear you. It might just be me that can't hear you. Well, you know, I it's almost like anger becomes an addiction. Some people can get up in the morning and they can say, you know what? Anger is not going to control me today. And as soon as something happens, there they go. And they almost feel better after they get angry. And there are some psychologists out there that say, well, it's best for you if you let it out. Well, I've been counseling for a long time, and I've never, ever seen that resolve an issue. By the way, a couple of people said they can't hear you, Gordon.
So can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
My Bose revolver decided to shut itself off.
Okay, yep, I can hear you. So do you think it is almost like an addiction? Now, we know about the possession and we know about the influence, demonic influence. Can this become like an addiction to people where they almost have to get angry, they feel like, to live? I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it in family members where, I mean, just they're angry all the time, and it doesn't take much to get them fired up. Now, when they're nice, they can be nice, but it doesn't take much to push the anger button.
Well, what I've got to throw it back. What defines an addiction? I think you're probably onto a point. I won't argue the point. I think it's very certainly has some similarities to an addiction. People feed off of it, I guess. I don't know if they look for excuses to explode or not, but it's certainly a fix. Maybe it's like a fix that they have to have because that releases tensions that they haven't dealt with. Maybe it makes a little sense. I don't know.
I don't know. I just, you know, I know even in my own life, the day I get up and I say, you know what, this is going to be a great day. All the positive thinking, this is going to be the day that this, that I'm going to enjoy. And I'm not kidding. That day, something will happen to start off that day. And it's like you said a while ago, and it, by the way, is a great statement. Then I have to make a choice. Which side am I going to be on? I'm going to be on the side where I'm tearing somebody down, or am I going to be on the side where I'm building somebody up? And, you know, I have to be careful because I work from home. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about other people I see other places. But, you know, it's... it almost seems like Satan toys with you, because when you say this is going to be a great day, it's like he says, okay, let's see if it is. Somebody asked a question here, Brother Gordon. Said, how do you define, thank you, Claudia, for this question. How do you define if a person has an anger problem? Is it frequency or of outburst, or is it the intensity of the outburst? An alcoholic knows he has a drinking problem. Does a person with anger know he has an anger problem?
I think it could start off that maybe they don't, because we've discussed before that they will be in denial that they don't. But if you're around that person and they're illustrating or they're showing the symptoms, it's not too hard to realize that they do have one, and it can be manifested, like we said last week, in different ways. It can be an internal type of anger where you just kind of keep it to yourself, or you just make little smart remarks, or you just ignore people, or different little things like that, or you afflict yourself.
Well, let me ask you this. Does anger even have to have outburst? Let me preface what I'm saying. So let's suppose this couple is spending the day together and somebody says something or somebody does something, one of the two of them, and the other person just shuts up and shuts down. And I have my own opinion here, but do you think that is an evidence of an anger problem?
Yeah, it can be an evidence, or it's an evidence of them taking abuse for so long that they're just done and they're shutting down. It could kind of work both ways, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So in essence, and I threw that out there on purpose because what was asked was, does a person with an anger problem know he has an anger problem? And I think a lot of that has to do with the way it manifests itself, right? For instance, if anger is manifesting itself as you're getting off over here and getting an attitude and shutting up for the rest of the day so that everybody around you knows there's a problem, they know there's an issue. Sometimes people don't notice they have an anger problem when they do that, because there's no outburst, there's no retaliation, there's no anything.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I realize they've got one. That would probably be like someone I was talking to who had issues and their personality changed. And someone came along and said, there's something wrong. You're not the same person you used to be. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing should be a wake up call when people, you know, come at you that way.
So Jimmy and Claudia, I'll tell you, I think based on what Pastor Scoggins said here, that it's some of all of that. Frequency reveals whether you have an anger problem. The intensity reveals it. And even silence can reveal it. And I would say with the outburst and with the frequency, a problem people usually know they have, but they may have so much pride they won't admit that's the problem. It's always somebody else's fault. You know, you've heard people say this, you know what, if it weren't for people, I'd have a great day. Well, maybe the problem's you, right? You're the one thing all those people have in common. So somebody asked another question, Brother Gordon here. They said, this is from the Montes family. Is it fair to say that anger starts as a decision manifested if we decide on it or not?
I would say no. I would say it's more of a response, again, to unresolved pain in your life that hasn't been dealt with, that over time will manifest itself whether you decide to or not. I think it's a decision. It can be somewhat of a decision if you let it get out of control, because you do have the option to, as Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud when you realize what it is and direct it out to sea where it's not going to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. So I guess you do have the decision to allow it to do damage. It kind of works both ways, I guess.
Would it be fair to say then that getting angry doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the decision you make, but not getting angry probably does have to do with the decision you've made? If I get up in the morning and I know that I have the potential to be angry, right? And so what I do, because I know I have that potential, I start preparing first thing in the morning not to get angry.
Yeah, I think that it's when we identify our issues, what our trigger points are, you're way ahead of the game, because you're going to take a moment when that trigger hits to say, okay, wait a minute, time out. I'm not going to go here. And like I said a while ago, direct that energy off to some way to reflect back to whatever triggered your issue to maybe bring something positive instead of something negative to the situation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Says something negative that's going to cause you to react, you can defuse it by turning it around and making a positive out of it. And mm-hmm. you turn it back to the other person who may have been trying to push your buttons.
Yep. So in actuality, that was a great question, because there really is a decision to be made in regard to anger. But the decision is the decision that you're not going to get angry. You're going to do whatever you got to do to keep from getting angry. That's a hard decision to keep, but it's definitely a decision that needs to be made.
The decision has to go to, are you going to get back to the root of the problem and deal with it, even if it's painful?
Mm-hmm.
That's the real decision.
Yeah, and
there's a hard one. It can be a hard one, because if you're dealing with pain from the past of something that was inflicted on you that wasn't your fault, you didn't ask for it, you didn't deserve it, but you're stuck with it. And a lot of pain that people deal with, their mind blocks it out because it is painful.
Right.
That's why they have to cover it up with alcohol and drugs, and sometimes trigger elements causes it to get out in anger.
No, that's good. I know my mom, I mean, a lot of things like that, and you've already talked about this, I think, the first podcast, but a lot of these things are generational. I mean, a lot of these tendencies we inherited. My mother was very wise, and my dad, my biological dad that I never got to meet, she sat me down one time when I got to be a teenager, and she said, "Son, I want you to listen to me. There's some things other guys may be able to do, you won't ever be able to do." She said, for two reasons. Number one, we're not going to let you. But number two, your dad tended to habits. Everything became a habit to him. Unfortunately, alcohol became a habit. Drugs became a habit. Crime became a habit. And she says, "Son, I'm afraid." She didn't know. She wasn't a psychologist. But she said, "I don't know, but my fear is that you might have those same tendencies. So promise me that you'll find good things that can become habits, not bad things." And she was, I'm telling you, she was right, because almost everything I do becomes a habit for me. Drinking coffee is a habit. I like coffee, but I don't drink it because I like it. I drink it because it's a habit. My neighbors think if they see somebody out in my front yard doesn't have a coffee cup in his hand, it's somebody spying in our windows. They said, "We've just never seen you without a coffee cup." But it can be all kind of things. And I think anger is the same thing. I think it can be a generational curse. And I think that the sooner you learn that and make a decision to deal with it, the better. We had another question says, or comment, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit will show if it's a sin. 1 John 9, I agree with God. It is a sin. He will forgive. Then go on your life knowing you're on your way to victory. Okay, and I agree with that.
He's stealing my thunder. We're not done yet, Brother Lockwood.
There you go.
We haven't got down to the real root of the matter. We're working our way there.
All right, well, let's go. We're running out of time.
Welcome back to what I said a while ago. You got to look in the mirror and agree that it's a problem, and then your father-in-law is right on point. But when you can do that, when you decide you don't like that person that you see that you are, you're on your way to resolution. And as I said a while ago, it doesn't matter whether you're the victim of someone else's anger. That doesn't give you the right to vent your venom on somebody else just because you're not happy.
Right.
You know, either your anger controls you or you control it. And convictions, we talked about our moral compass, is really the same way. You need to hold them loosely where they can be adjusted, but if you lock them down, then they control you instead of you controlling them. But my big point here is this: anger is not just bad behavior, it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
S-I-N, big capital S-I-N in my notes, it is sin. The secular psychologist is going to tell you how to manage it, but not how to resolve it.
Right.
They're going to tell you, here's some of the great points I came across. They're going to tell you to calm down. Nothing wrong with that. Think before you speak. Go exercise. Put yourself in time out. Now, that's a doozy. You get starting to lose your cookies and lose your mind. Go and put yourself in time out. Yeah, I can really see that happen. Look for solutions. Don't hold a grudge. Tell a joke. relax. There's nothing necessarily bad about those, but it does not resolve the problem. Why not? Because sin is the problem, and it's an issue of the heart. Make a good name for a podcast.
Yeah.
It's a problem of the heart, not the head, and that and it's sin. Ephesians 4, 26, 27 says, be angry and sin not. But right there, God puts the finger on it. If you can divert that and recognize it and see where something's not right and correct it, it's not a bad thing. It's a good warning sign. It's like if you cut your finger and you got blood gushing out, it means something's wrong. You need to fix it. You don't just bleed out. Kind of a crude illustration, but kind of makes the point a little bit, I guess. You realize you do something about it. It says, sin not and let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That word place means jurisdiction. That means you can open yourself up to unclean spirits. Amen. Mm-hmm. So if it's a sin problem, what's going to happen? Well, that means that there's some things, some processes that are going to have to kick in. It's called repentance, humility, and a forgiving spirit. Now, I got a lot of my wisdom from somebody much wiser than I. And he basically said, you've got to go to God, confess that it is sin, because you're wrong no matter what. If you allow it to become wrath and it gets out your mouth, you got to forgive the ones, seek forgiveness from the ones you're hurting, and you got to forgive the one who hurts you, which is probably the hardest one of all, to be able to go back and say, I forgive you. Forgiving is one of the most powerful forces, I think, on the planet.
Yep.
I got a good message on that. I've preached a few times. The power of forgiveness. It brings great joy. It brings peace. When you can let go of the hurts, and why should we? Because Jesus Christ forgave us. He didn't have to forgive us. We hurt him. He forgave us, so we have no excuse for not forgiving others. If you've been saved, you know the joy of what it is to be forgiven. But you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to sit down, do some backtracking. You may need some counseling. You may have to drive out some unclean spirits, and you can drive them out yourself. You don't have to have somebody exercise them. They'll go if you just get your heart right, because you invited them in. You made a comment the other day. Somebody asks you, how do they get in? You open the door. Well, the same door you open, you can kick them right back out of it. Tell them to home. Some of them will get that.
Yeah, you see the comment by the Montez family. It's kind of like the one made by Claudia and Jimmy a couple of days ago, where they said a quick recipe for those who practice the spirit of anger, which is what you just talked about. You know, it's that unclean spirit based on self-guilt. So, and I'll say this, that and I think we kind of came to this conclusion, we were talking about this before, that you can get to the point where that is the mechanism that's used to control your lack of ability to stop anger. You know, just, I mean, it does have an effect. So, you know, past mistakes are past.
That goes right back into what we're just saying, because they have guilt. Something's happened that they can't forgive themselves.
Yeah. And I'm going to do a podcast on that one day. And I even have a guest that can come on and cover that subject. But guilt of the past, I'm going to say, Pastor, probably 70% of the people listening to this podcast have dealt with that in some degree in their own life, maybe some more than others. There's not a lot of things that keep me awake at night, but that one does. You know, and you pray and you say, you know, it's gone. It's so easy to say that. But boy, it sneaks right back up there. You know, so, and a lot of the people we counsel, you know, we deal with it constantly. And I tell people what they need to do. It keeps coming back, So give yourself a image, a picture, a word picture. So take your sheet of paper and write down those things in your past that make you feel guilty. Write them all down. Get on your knees and pray about every one of them, one by one. When you've finished, then claim you're done with it. Take a match, strike the match, burn that paper where you'd written all that stuff. And as the smoke goes up, God, take that away from me. I can't change the past. I can't do anything about the past. But I can do something about the future. And if you read your Bible, man, you'll find the Bible's full of men who had terrible past, but finished with unbelievable finishes.
I dealt with that in my message Sunday morning here at church, talking about the blood of Jesus being on the cross. And when he said, Father, forgive them, and it is finished. The whole point being is your past is now past. Once you come to Christ, your past is past. He's not standing up there with a hammer waiting for you to get there so he can beat you over the head with everything you did. Mm-hmm. He's waiting to put his big old arms around you, however that works, before we get a new body. I don't know how that all going to work out, but he's going to put the love on us. And we're just going to have so much relief and joy. I don't think we can even imagine how wonderful it's going to be when we experience the real love of Christ, the forgiveness that he offers to you, and the healing that he offers to you. Even where you are right now, if you've got hurts and pains and you've been abused and your mind's in a mess, there is still healing power in the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go on.
Well, Gordon, I think that's all tremendous stuff. And I want everybody to understand, because we're out of time, but I want everybody to understand what this is all about. This is not a soapbox. This is not a platform. We honestly know this is an area where a majority of people, and I didn't abuse that word, I meant it, a majority of people suffer and battle this thing of anger. It's torn homes, it's destroyed kids, it's ruined society. Now, we know the basis for it's really what does it, but the activity of anger, so destructive. And we want everybody listening to this podcast to know you can be free from that. Anger does not have to be a controlling factor in your life. And Brother Gordon has very adequately explained that the only one that gets hurt when you get angry is you, not the other person. And there's kids out there who have all kinds of problems because the parent couldn't control their anger. There's marriages that have been destroyed because somebody couldn't control their anger. Gordon, there's churches that have been destroyed because somebody couldn't control their anger. And so, folks, we want you to know there's hope.
And can I get my verse, Brother Jay, before we go?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Well, the Lord gave me this verse, and I think it really, really sums it up really nicely in Psalm 119, verse 165. The psalmist wrote, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Mm-hmm. Powerful verse right there.
Yes, it is.
When you fall in love with the law, you fall in love with Jesus. Love his word. Let it bring healing and life to your bones and clarity to your mind. And you won't have your problem anymore.
Yeah. That's good. Good stuff, Brother Scoggins. We appreciate you being on for the last 3 weeks, and we'll have you on again. That's good stuff. And hopefully, and I've already had people tell me, matter of fact, we had a response last week where someone said, this, I didn't realize what a problem I had. And this has really helped me turn some things around, I hope. So it's had an effect on some people. So I appreciate you being on. Remember, everybody, next week, Monday night, 7 o'clock, the spirit of anger. We're going to have as our guest, Dr. S.M. Davis. And you won't want to miss that. I'm going to be honest with you. I've studied a lot about anger. I've heard a lot of messages and thoughts and good stuff on anger. But that spirit of anger, the way he covered that, brought some things out to me that shocked me. Because when you have a spirit of anger, you don't even have to get angry, and people know you're angry. So you want to be sure and don't miss that one, because that's where we got to deal with it, right?
I tell you, if he'll probably mention it, but in case he don't, there's a video he's got out there. It's been out for several years called Anger the Destroyer, and I've used it several times myself, and it's it's a dynamite video. You can download it for free, I'm sure, and show it to your church or youth group or whatever. It's good stuff. He's going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah. Hey, you'll want to miss that, and he will. We'll give him an opportunity to talk about what his particular ministry is and all the media stuff he has available to help people. You won't want to miss that. People have thanked us. Claudia and Jimmy, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Thank you for your comments. All right, everybody, have a wonderful night. Don't get angry tomorrow. Just love people. All right? We'll see you. God bless you.